Now, before the next program, here is an important announcement.
The Daily Express, an apology.
We are very sorry about the Daily Express. Here with the very latest news is the News Hotline, starring Roy Hart with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the Jubilee Review of Fleet Street. Yes, what a display of strength it was. Guns, anti-ballistic missiles, nuclear warheads, and that was just down on the Grumwick picket line. Meanwhile, old Jim Callahan's still refusing to budge. He insists he's going to stick it out. Well, that should lose him a few more votes for a start. And what about on the stars, eh? Having a go at the photographers at Wimbledon. Actually, he's denied that he used obscene language, you know. What he actually said was, will you get the folk out of here? You know?
There's a warning about leaks. The gas boiler impregnating all their days with a smell of gas.
I know one thing is, the price keeps going up. Next time I shall stick my head in the envelope. What about that ex-Inspector Drury who's up on corruption charges and says he used James Humphreys as a contact? He admits that he first got suspicious when he asked Mr. Humphreys how much he charged, and he replied, I'm free. Then over from Uganda came the official confirmation that there was an attempt to shoot President Amin. Apparently the bullet went right through the middle of his head and missed his brain by 6 foot. And of course this week we saw the new white paper on British Rail. And about time that dirty grey stuff was a disgrace. But one of my favourite stories, though, was the experiment they've been carrying out to stop girls shaking when they play the violin. Did you hear that? And you get a even cut their driver. It won't stop them shaking, but at least deaf people will be able to enjoy the music as well. And finally, there was a claim by Lance Percival that tennis player Tom Ocker had stolen his girlfriend, Liz Howe. Well, I bet he'd have a solution to think about that.
Friend of Tom Ocker, no longer will I see her gorgeous pair of great big eyes. See you.
And now she said goodbye. I'm fed up to the buck teeth and it makes me want to cry. Oh, Tom Ocker, you caused me so much troubles. I'd play you at your own game and thrash you in the doubles. But competing with a tennis star is something that's not done. For there's you with your three sets to love one. I've got only one.
Open wine.
Can we have the first caller, please?
Hello? I'm calling from the Isle of Wight, where for the 7th year running, I've seen the big cows race.
Really? How was it?
Oh, the wife came last, as usual.
Next caller, please.
Oh, I'm the Sheffield publican who's been in all this trouble about sex discrimination.
Yes?
I just rang to say I have now, reluctantly, agreed to allow women to play with men on the snooker table.
Really?
Yes, anyone waiting to play snooker will just have to wait.
Next caller, please.
Hello, this is Richard Field from the Chrysler factory at Wrighton. We've just completed our new wage deal and I've got... All the workers are having £5 a week stopped out of their wages.
And the good news?
It's being backdated till last April.
Next door, please.
Hello? I'm another Tory peeress who agrees with Baroness Vickers that trust
Yes, and what's your question?
Would you like a nice time, Thundersize?
I'm one of London's leading calls.
Oh, really? This is Thunderthighs here.
But as a matter of fact, I've been ill this week seeing my doctor.
Really? What did he say?
He said I had to stay on my feet for a few days and I'd soon be back in bed.
Next caller, please.
Hello.
Hello.
George Ward, managing director of Grumwick here. Just to reaffirm that I'm not anti-workers, and if any of those 137 men I sacked who've been causing me so much trouble would care to come back to work for me, I'd make sure that at the end of the week they went home with a bulging pay bucket.
Ah, there'd be more money in it, would there?
No, there'd be a bomb in it.
Next caller, please.
Oh, I'm ever so excited, because my old man's taking me out to the pictures tonight to see that new film about the life story of Barbara Streisand's nose.
Barbara Streisand's nose. What film's that?
A Bridge Too Far.
Now for a report on the week's events at 10 Downing Street. It's time once again for Jim Callaghan's Diary.
Sunday. Got up, went down to breakfast. Had a rather large hangover, so I've got a wider chair. Vision was so blurred, I picked up a spoon and spent half an hour trying to crack open a picture of the Pope in the morning paper. Found he'd been issuing a benediction to Margaret Thatcher, so now she's even more of a blessed nuisance than before. Wrote that one myself.
Put on a pair of sensible shoulders and went to Checkers for a cabinet meeting.
All right, quiet everybody, quiet. Now then, first of all, hang on, what's this ruddy great wooden log doing on the table? Oh, I'm sorry about that, Jim, that's my eyebrow pencil. Let it move, man. Now, what's on the agenda today?
Dennis Healy's economic package, sir.
Yes, Jim. I've decided earnings mustn't rise by more than 10%. Basically, I want to help the poor, unskilled worker. There you go, Dennis.
Benefit allowances.
Yes, can't we have anything to help women with little toddlers?
All right, I'll send them some ointment. I'm planning various job retraining schemes to help the unemployed. For instance, British Rail are starting up a course for weight watchers.
All the men are taught to stand around the platform watching everybody wait. Then there's a special scheme aimed at those people who have absolutely no idea how to handle their own crisis.
Ah, you mean the Grunwick Union bosses?
No, the England football team. Monday. While we were at Checkers, not far away, the entire Liberal Party were holding a meeting of their own inside a diving suit. David Steele called round shortly afterwards.
Well, James, this 10-point plan of mine is your last chance to save the Lib-Lab Pact. If it fails, there may well be a Lib-Tory Pact instead. You must make the decision. Do we go to the Lab or Tory?
Well, if you do, it's first on the left at the end of the corridor. Tuesday. Got up. Took the day off as Prime Minister and did some work. Opened the morning mail.
Who's that one from, dear?
Oh, this is interesting. It's from Tony Benn, saying the gas board's made a massive profit and what can he do about it? Well, I shall write back and say I expect him to deal with matters of electricity and gas himself. Now, I'm talking to it, and I'm telling
now, Audrey...
Oh, wait a minute. What about your fan mail, dear?
I'll write that when I come back. Wednesday. Got up, prepared for Common Market Summit meeting. had discussion on the admission of new member countries.
Horses wipe with men between them.
Right. Right, I say Turkey and Greece.
Greece. Turkey and Greece.
Yeah, Turkey and Greece. Greece it is then. Right, that's the orders for lunch sorted out. Now, let's get down to business.
Now, basically, Monsieur Giscard, we're hoping to introduce direct elections to Europe, but it may be tough going with the left wing.
Pardon?
Miss Dupont. Translate for him, would you? Tell him it may be tough going with the left wing.
Very good.
What did he say?
He said, in that case, forget the left wing. He'll just have the person's nose.
Oui.
And he says he wants stuffing.
You can say that again. Look, the point is, with the new method of voting, we may get several members of the Liberal Party elected.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Liberal, Miss Dupont.
Translate the nearest French equivalent to Liberal Party.
Well, what does he think of the Liberal Party?
He says it is very good if you put it on your rhubarb.
Came home feeling shattered. Decided to listen to a little light Wednesday night radio to cheer myself up.
And now for a report on the week's events at 10 Downing Street. It's time once again for Jim Callahan's diary.
Sunday. Got up, went down to breakfast. Nothing like me. What's on the telly?
This week sees the opening of the world. He's just it. People are itching to get in.
We sent our Headlines reporter around to see what it's all about.
Hello, and welcome to the World Flea Conference, which is well underway and things are now beginning to jump. With me is one of the founder members of the organization, Agnes Greenspoon.
Well, first of all, Agnes, that's younger than you usually mean. My mother always wanted to go. Tell me.
Exactly what happens at a flea conference?
Oh, well, we chat about fleas. Yeah. Mainly small talk, you know. And then the fleas compete on a rink in various kinds of sport until we find the supreme champion.
Have you ever won?
Oh, yes, I won in America last year at the famous
Harvard Rink.
The thing I don't know is, as a trainer, how can you spot a future champion?
Well, personally, I use the jump and stand method.
And what's that?
If I can't jump, I'll stand on the little blighters.
Is it difficult teaching them to race? I mean, it must take hours just showing them how to stand in line.
Oh, the racing fleas are no trouble.
No?
No, it's training the jockeys that causes the problem.
Attention, please. Here is an announcement. In the next race, flea number 7, King Arthur, does not run because he's been scratched. Thank you.
Really, yes. That'll be that daft Mrs. Rowley again. I expect Arthur bitter.
Well, you can buy your own this time. Is that yours in the jam jar?
Yes, that's him. He's a little raver there, no?
What's his name?
Jumping Jack.
Flash?
Did he? The cheeky little devil, you put your raincoat back on. Put it on,
interesting thing about fleas, you know. Do you know they never land on anyone with rheumatism?
Why not?
Could you jump 6 feet if you had rheumatism?
I'd like to ask you one final question. Where do you get your fleas from?
Well, I usually buy up old bed covers from the junk shops, you know. What you might call a down payment. Yes, well, you might call it that, but...
I wouldn't.
No, nor, I wish I hadn't have done, quite frankly. Seriously, we do hold another annual show for the sole purpose of trading in fleas. But we like to keep it a secret, so we disguise the event under another name.
That's interesting. What do you call it?
Why, Crufts, of course.
Application to have an extension built onto a bungalow in the Scilly Isle. Apparently the local council objected to her having a bit on the side.
But Mary didn't let it rest with the council. She went over their heads, which they weren't too pleased about. So let's pay a visit to the turbulent Wilson household.
I'm just wild about Harold and
Oh, stop singing to yourself, dear. Sometimes I almost think you're a narcissist.
Oh, don't be silly, Mary. A narcissist is a person who thinks he's in love with himself.
Just like you.
Nonsense, Mary. With me, it's the real thing. Mary, you mustn't nag me. I've had a very tiring day presiding over the inquiry, looking back into the future of the British film industry.
And how did it go?
Well, I told them they must start making some big-budget, spectacular pictures which feature international sex symbols. Oh, it reminds me, Mary, has my Superman suit come back from the cleaners yet?
Typical, typical. You only ever think of yourself. Why don't you put some pressure on that local council who've refused me planning permission to develop my bungalow?
All right, I'll ring the Minister for the Environment. Just hang on a second while I dial. Hello? Hello, sure, Sir Harold here. I'm just ringing to say that I fully understand your reluctance to grant my wife any favours and to console you on your imminent dismissal from the cabinet. I've got him worried, Mary. He's promising to get his hair cut. Now, listen, Shaw. I think my wife is owed some special attention. After all, she is married to the man who made this country what it is today. Okay, fine.
What did he say?
They're evicting you in the morning. Oh, it's no good. I can see I'm going to have to talk to someone with real authority. I'm just wild about Harold. Oh. Hello, Audrey. Is the big man there, please? Oh, good, good. Hello? Look, I want permission for my wife to build an extension to her bungalow. Will you see to it?
Excellent. Goodbye, sir. And you know that 10-point liberal plan that's been presented to the Labour government for its survival?
Yes.
Well, now it's an 11-point plan.
And now, as the June flowers leap into blossom, we wander in and out of the Westminster weeds and plunge our nostrils into Maggie Thatcher's burgeoning bouquet for another verdant whiff from the old bloomer herself.
Well, this time it definitely looks like they're on their way out. Doesn't it? Oh, that sorted that out. I myself have spent much of this last week in Rome, where I had an audience with the Pope. I shall never forget our first exchange of words. I was ushered into his personal chambers, and I opened my mouth to speak. Your Celestial Holiness, what a privilege to meet you at last, he interrupted. Like everyone, I was tremendously impressed by the splendor of the Sistine Chapel. I only wish I'd had time to see the other 15. Indeed, as far as I was concerned, the only flies in the ointment were the Italian men. Personally, I think they're a bit forward.
They're much better. On the home front, of course, we've seen the Liberals getting really tough and mean. Pathetic, isn't it? Nevertheless, there will always be a place for David Steele in my cabinet, as I believe he has the makings of a first-class coat hanger. Right here and now that my party and I are fully prepared to take over. Indeed, we have already drawn up plans for a return to free collective unemployment. What is more, a conservative government will not permit the distasteful sort of scenes we have been witnessing in London this week. And let me give fair warning, if necessary, we will pass restrictive laws.
The Spithead Review. Well, this week we saw them in all their glory. Britain's entire armada of warships, as clean as a new pin, and almost twice as deadly. Yes.
Unfortunately, old defence cuts have made our fleet look a bit faulty these days, and David Button uses it as well. In fact, on Tuesday afternoon, a couple of empty sardine cans floated past, and everyone thought the parade had started.
Meanwhile, on board the ships, the men were hard at work on the preparations. Able Seaman Dalrymple?
Coming, sir.
Good. Hurry up with that mopping bucket on the poop deck, lad. And salute when you pass me. I'm a rear admirer.
Surely you mean a rear admiral, sir.
You've got a lot to learn about the Navy, boy. Petty Officer Smedley.
Yeah?
Your wrens are getting far too saucy. Walking round in front of my men with ladders in their stockings?
Oh, lots of women go round with ladders in their stockings, sir.
Not rope ladders, Petty Officer. Well, my lads, it's 12 noon, and I think we're ready to get. Standing on the bridge at midday, breathing in the salt sea air.
Sir, I feel a little dickish.
Your private life's your own. Look, there's 10 black submarines there, floating slowly into port.
No!
Something. The sea always reminds me of our country's prime minister.
You mean relentless, bold, and powerful?
No, I mean it makes me sick. On TV, we're seen by millions, watching every ship and gun.
And we'll climb up all the ratings.
Oh, I say, will there be fun?
And so the display went on. We saw them all. Famous prestige ships like HMS Tiger, where Harold Wilson once met Ian Smith.
Yes, in fact, even today, as a reminder of my august presence, there's a silver plate on the deck in the same spot where it fell out of my raincoat as I left the ship.
And, of course, sailing proudly at the rear of the convoy, we saw the country's most deadly, most expensive vessel, the one that all foreigners fear most. Yes. The British Rail Ferry. Meanwhile, back in Portsmouth, all the nice girls who love a sailor had plenty of men to choose from.
Stormy ship night sailing by on Spithead Day, on Spithead Day. And one of them soon caught my eye on Spithead Day in the morning.
On your own.
We went off to a discotheque, then back to his ship for a quiet peck. And I found that he was all hands on deck on Spithead Day in the morning. He wanted to meet my folks so bad, I took him back home to my pad. And now he's run off with my dad. On Spirit Day in the morning.
Naturally, the whole thing has made it a field day for the traders, cashing in on all the Jubilee crowds. Right, roll up, roll up. Get your Spithead souvenirs here. Here we are, madam, your very own Spithead tourist guide bra. Only 25 quid.
Spithead tourist guide bra?
That's right, madam. Squeezes you in and then points the interesting places out. Not bad, is it, eh? Now, hold on. Don't walk away, lady.
I say, you, young lady.
What is it?
This thing you sold me here, this special naval telescope.
Well, what's wrong with it?
I've been holding it up to me navel for half an hour. I can't see a thing.
How many cubits can you get? But then, sadly, it all had to end. Come clear up, me lads. Now the show's almost through. It's back to our posts till 2002. For a sailor has express engagements, they say.
Especially Prince Charles, who has one every day.
Horoscopes on our ships, now they're halving our men.
These crew cuts make us frailer.
Speak for yourself, sailor.
We will fight for our country again and again.
If any enemy country is foolhardy enough to imagine that they can take over this nation of ours, Great Britain, then all I can say is this. You'll find the keys under the mat at number 10. Ready, luck.
Heartless folks are the MPs who cut back and then the ship they disgrace will never be.
News Headlines, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. The script was written by David Renwick, Andy Hamilton, Laurie Rowley, and Howard Imber. Additional material by Peter Hickey, John Peete, Reginald Winners, Gerald Marlowe, Kenneth Rock, Keith Rawnsley, and Peter Long.
All of whom have had their navels reviewed by our producer,
John Lloyd.